Well, good morning, everyone. Mark was saying about the Baptist conference. He's going to hold a Baptist ministers being together. Many years ago, there was a wonderful, wonderful man of God, Methodist minister in South Africa. And he used to say that Methodist ministers, when they all got together, it was like manure. It stank a lot. But when you spread them out, they did a lot of good. So I hope the same applies to the Baptist ministry. Folk, all of us belong. We all belong. We all have a sense of belonging. Every one of us. And in fact, we all have a need to belong. All of us, I know, will have heard of, maybe even experienced, the child lost in a supermarket, separated from mom or dad, crying, wandering around the aisles, and then maybe one of the shop staff finds them and takes them to the customer service desk, and then you hear the announcement, of this lost child. When the mother goes to customer services, she doesn't really have to identify herself to say, "This is my child," because that little one runs out and says, "Mommy!" and hugs her around the legs or whatever. Why? Because that little boy or girl has a huge sense of belonging. Where's my mommy? Where's my daddy? Okay? I was a little bit taken aback. A few weeks ago, we were staying with my daughter, and we have. And they were about to go on holiday for a week, two parents and two little girls, and we were staying in the house. And so I said, "Well, I hope you have a good time. Are you going to miss me?" And she said, "Not really." I said, "Why?" And she said, "Because you're not my mommy and daddy." And so, I mean, I think she repented afterwards, but anyway. So you see, we all have this sense of belonging. And the Bible speaks a lot about belonging. For example, in a rather scary situation, just before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, two men, the angels, said to Lot, "Do you have anyone else here, sons-in-law, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we're going to destroy this place." The outcry of the Lord against its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it. Does anybody else belong to you? Gather them now. And then in a more positive, lovely note, remember Boaz said to the harvesters, "Who does that young woman belong to?" And the overseer replied, "She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi." Remember that story? Story of Ruth. And in Ecclesiastes, we hear that song of love where the she says to the he, "I belong to my beloved and his desire is for me." And so I've got plenty others here, but I won't go through them all now. And so our sense of belonging has firstly, of course, to do with family, because they are flesh and blood, but also with groups, a walking group, a club, a hiking group, and of course, church, where we are fellowship of believers and have a sense of belonging. And, belonging brings a sense of identity of who we are. Now, we all have possessions, all right? So, we all have belongings. Ask me. I've just moved. It's taken 3 weeks to unpack the boxes, okay? And of course, we don't have masses of possessions, but we all have possessions. But we don't belong to our possessions. The possessions belong to us. And if we lost them all, then who would we turn to? Who would support us? Well, the people who love us, okay? The people who we know would support us, the people that are close to us, okay? And when we lose a loved one, we are immediately supported by, dependent upon those who belong to us and we belong to them. We need the support of people. But you know, the world is not all there is. There is a life beyond. And what we believe and do counts in the life beyond, which the Bible calls eternal life. And what Mandy has just read to us, first chapter of John, about Jesus, to as many as received him, to them gave he the power or the right or the recognition to be the sons and daughters of God, even to those who believed on his name. Now Paul, writing to the Ephesians, said, remember that at that time, i.e. before these people responded to the gospel, you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So I said to a moment ago, this world is not all there is. Why did I suddenly say that in the middle of nowhere? Well, when this life has passed, then who will you belong to? To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. That means forever. Brought near by the blood of Christ. Now, Paul calls himself a slave of Christ. And so did James and others. Now, slaves were a fact of life in those days. They were just part of life, okay? And it's estimated that 40 to 50% of Roman Italy in those days were slaves. And the Greek word for slave is doulos, D-O-U-L-O-S. Now, in the modern day, of course, we despise the whole idea of slaves, and rightly so, in that many people, even today, are abused by an unregenerate mankind, a humankind. And we even have slaves in Britain, mostly hidden, and the media sometimes exposes this. And, of course, there's been recent controversy over the history of slaves. It's been highlighted in the media, you know, notably in Bristol, where they threw a statue of a prominent man who had some connection with slavery into the harbour. But there's no getting away from the Greek word, the Greek translation of the word doulos. It means slave. Now, what are the components of being a slave? Well, slaves were purchased. You bought a slave. Okay? In the New Testament, there are about 6 words for servant. And a servant is someone who performs a function for a wage, but they're free to leave. They're free to quit. I'm out of here. Thanks. I'm giving you my notice. And that's the distinction between a servant and a slave. And sometimes in the Bible they translate doulos as servant, which isn't, in some versions, which isn't absolutely correct. But you know, being a slave fits perfectly with our status under Christ, believe it or not. Peter says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver and gold, that you were redeemed." Now, you bought a slave in those days with silver and gold. And Peter says, "It was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." And in Acts 20, Paul speaks about the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. And further, "You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." You're not your own. Bought with a price. Purchased. You know what? That's slave language. Now, that's the first element. The second element, there are three, of being a slave, therefore, is that you are owned, you are subject to an alien will. That makes you shiver, doesn't it? But if you looked in any definition of what it was to be a slave in any dictionary, there would be this indication. A slave does not function on his own or her own will. They are at all times subject to an alien will. That is to say, he or she has no freedom to do what they want to do. We are owned because we are bought, if you're a slave. The third component of being a slave is that we are bound to submission and obedience. Now, nothing could combine the Christian relationship to the Lord more clearly than that. What did Jesus say in the Great Commission? He said, "Go and teach them to observe." Observe what? "Everything I have commanded you." This is about yielding up, you see. Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for my sake will save it." And that's the vital point. Belonging to Jesus actually means being free. Now that seems like a contradiction. I've just spoken about a slave. How about being a slave and belonging and having to do everything? But being a slave to Jesus actually means free. Being free from the clutches and the consequences of sin. It means belonging to the one who provides shelter in this life and the one to come. Ask anyone who has been freed from a crippling addiction by the Lord Jesus. Ask them what it is to be free and to be a slave of Jesus. And ask them if they'd rather be a slave of Jesus or a slave to cocaine or alcohol or pornography. What about you? What is your testimony? If somebody was to say to you, "So, all right, you're Christian, you tell me what it's all about. What has it meant to you? What has Jesus done for you?" Maybe in a challenging and scornful way. What would you say? Do you belong to Jesus? A slave was purchased, okay? Owned, submissive, obedient, also dependent. No place to live, nor food to eat, nor clothes to wear that weren't provided by the master. And the Bible says, "My God will supply all your needs," I'm sure most of you can finish that, "according to his riches in Christ Jesus." And to quote John MacArthur, "He lavishes grace upon grace. He calls us to his throne of mercy in time of need and promises to meet every need we have. We have a good, kind, loving, generous, and compassionate master who makes life the best possible. And so just to conclude, reminder, we all have a sense of need and a sense of belonging. But belonging in this world is not all there is. We will pass away sometime, and then who will we belong to forever? Folk, we live in a very difficult world. Our prayers for Ukraine this morning reminded of that. Reminded us of that. And we need a protector. And God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And Jesus said, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He is the good shepherd who cares for his sheep. And you might just wonder, then you spent a little bit of time this morning on what the components of slaves, but I did that very deliberately because, you see, I said to you at the beginning, Paul, the great apostle, identified himself as a slave of Christ in a society where there were lots of slaves. So did James and so did others. And the point I wanted to make is to be a slave of Christ is to be one that belongs to the one who cares for us more than anybody else in this world that we belong to. And just to finish and close with another quote from John MacArthur, then he takes his slaves, having made them sons and daughters and joint heirs, and seats them on his own throne in eternal glory to reign with him, and then lavishes on them forever and forever all the gifts of his grace eternal. So who do you want to belong to? Every one of us sitting here this morning has a deep need to belong, and we do belong. Thank God for that. Even the loners that seem to be loners and don't need anybody, they have a need inside to belong. Simon Gilbard, he's that guy who's a British guy who did a lot of missionary work in Burundi. I was just reading some of his autobiography called Dangerous Living. And he was just saying, you know, on his marriage day, they had memorized the vows so they wouldn't have to repeat them after the minister or read them. And when it came to that point that love and cherish till death do us part, she stumbled and couldn't remember the words very well. And he suddenly thought, "Shoo! I wonder if this is her saying there's a way out." But you see, when people come together in marriage, they're committing themselves to belong to each other forever until death do them part. And when we commit ourselves to Jesus, remember that the church is the bride of Christ. And one day, who knows if it could be in the next while, he is going to come again. And what does the Bible say? The Bible says he's going to take all those who belong to him. Do you belong to him? I am so glad that I belong to him. He bought me with an enormous price, which he paid for on a cross like that. And he did the same for you. God bless you as you consider that. Thank you. Over to you, Mark. Sorry. No, it's not over to Mark. I actually brought my order of service here to remind myself, and then I forgot. So, in response to that, thank you, Mark. Sorry. Scatty brain here. In response to that, let's just be quiet for about 30 seconds, and then Andy is going to play a song for us, words on the screen, and we're not going to stand and sing. This is the song to meditate on. Thank you, Mark. Sorry.